the day seems long, the trial's hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. My Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away. As tears forever over in God's eternal day, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of hope. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows your deepest care. That Jesus of your problem, just go to him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms are ever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burden down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Run the race till we see Christ, which may be today. Amen. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28, we see Jesus entering into the city. And so today we're looking at several things concerning the city of Jerusalem. As we look at this and a little bit of chapter 20, we're going to see engaging two disciples in the city, and then Jesus entering the city, and then Jesus emotional in the city, and then emptying the temple in the city, and then we see him educating in the city. So let's pray before we look at these verses. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the power in it. Thank you that it is like no other book in all the world, because it is a living book that you've given to us. And we pray that you would use it, speak to our hearts from it, and may we be shaped to be more like you until we see Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. As we look at Jesus sending the two disciples there, he tells them as they're going, he said in verse 30, go into the village over against you. So here's the command, and they are to follow his instructions. And he says, you will find a colt tied on which no man has ever sat. You know, and so, well, probably there would be a lot of cults around at this time, but there's one particular one that Jesus is directing them to. And so it's hard to imagine what they're thinking. Okay, I'm going to go into this city, and I'm going to see this colt, and he's tied up, and we don't own this thing, and we're going to take it. And, you know, that would be sort of like, you know, hijacking a car today, you know, stealing there. And so they're going in, and Jesus is telling them to do this. And so I'm thinking of the faith that they must have had. They're going to do what Jesus said, and it's a simple command, and we can't fully understand everything there. But if you notice in verse 32, a wonderful little phrase as they go, it says, "And they found even as he had said." You know, and that is a very encouraging phrase, isn't it? Because we will always find even as he has said. No matter what he says in the scripture, we're always going to find what he says to be true, even if it's just a simple thing about a colt being tied there. And they go their way in faith, knowing that they could be arrested, you know, if they take something that's not theirs. But they are trusting God. They're trusting the Lord Jesus, and they go. And then in verse 33 it says, "And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said, why are you loosing the colt?" When it talks about the owners here, the word owners is the word that's often translated Lord. Kyrios is the Greek word there. And so they might not have been the owner as we think of the owner, but they were the ones in authority. And that's what the word Lord means, has authority. So they had the authority over this colt. They had the authority to say, no, you can't take it. They had the authority to say, go ahead and take it. But God had directed all of that. And so we see not only following his instruction, but fulfilling his need. And so they're doing as Jesus had instructed them. And they said in verse 34, "The Lord hath need of him." The authority, the Lord. He needs him. Now, they could have said, "Who is this Lord to whom you refer?" Well, this is ours. We don't care what your master needs, because sometimes it's translated master. But they didn't. And they did exactly what Jesus said that they would do. And we can trust him as well. When we obey his word, even though we don't fully understand, and even though there may be some potential danger involved, if God told us to do it, we can trust him there. Not only was this to fulfill a need that he had, but also it was to fulfill prophecy. Listen to Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So here, this is a fulfillment of Scripture. And they're going and they're getting this colt, and to fulfill this need that Jesus has, a need to ride into Jerusalem, a need to fulfill Scripture. And think about our needs. Won't he fulfill every need that we have? He may not fulfill every want and desire that we might have, but he has promised to take care of every need. And though this colt, the authority there, we don't know who they were, but Psalm 50:10 says this, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills." And so these authorities over it were really just stewards of this animal. It belongs to God. Everything in this universe belongs to God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine, and he is the ultimate authority there. And he had directed them to release this colt there. And won't he meet our needs as well? When we are obedient to him, as these disciples were obedient to Jesus, and it was even as he had said. Well, now Jesus begins to enter into the city, and notice the ride as he goes into the city there in verse 35. They brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt. And so here, this ride at first is pretty comfortable. There, he's got the garments upon the colt, and it seems to be an easy ride as he's going in. And I was thinking, sort of like our Christian life, when we first get saved. We first get saved and the burden of sin is lifted and we just feel so great. Oh, it's just wonderful to be a Christian. And it always is wonderful to be a Christian, but the ride is not always easy, is it? There, especially as we grow in the Lord, and sometimes there'll come some things along the way, along the road of life there. And in verse 36, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way there. And so they're going on this road, and where does it ultimately end? Well, it's going to Jerusalem. And yes, that is true. So, well, he's going to Calvary. Yes, that is true. But as we think about where this road leads, it ultimately leads to the will of God. Because as he said, not my will, but thine be done. And whatever path we take when we are obedient to the Lord, he will fulfill every need we have, and our path must always be with the destination of the will of God. And we have six seniors graduating Thursday night, and what I try to stress to them, you know, is not so much which college you attend or even if you go to college, but ultimately, what is God's will? You know, and seek God's face and seek God's will, and through His Holy Spirit and His Word, He will guide us into His will there. And the road of the Christian life is like this. It's a lot easier at first because the burden of sin has been lifted and we start going in the way, and here they are trying to make the path a little bit easier for him. They didn't understand the future, what it was going to hold. But whenever we are bringing up children, I was thinking of this path and trying to make the road a little bit easier because they were putting down the garments and things there. And I read what someone wrote. I wish I had written down the author. And they said, we should raise up our children for the path. Don't prepare the path for the child there. Because we never know what the path might hold. But when we ever bring up our children, they're ready for the path. Whatever God brings into their lives, they're saying, I'm going to pursue the will of God. And as we do that, God will take care of every need. Well, not only the ride and the road, but look at the rejoicing going on here, verse 37 and 38. It says, the whole multitude, in the middle of the verse, they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Why? For all the mighty works that they had seen. Have you seen any? Have you seen God's mighty works? What is your response to seeing the mighty works? If you come to know Christ as Savior and He's lifted the burden of sin, our immediate response ought to be to rejoice and praise God. That's why we come. That's why we praise God as we listen to His Word, as His Holy Spirit speaks to us. We praise God in prayer. We praise God in giving. We praise God in singing. And we come to praise God for the mighty works that He has done. But you know what happens shortly after this? These people that are praising God for His mighty works, crucify Him. Crucify Him. Isn't that such a fickle crowd? And we find that with people around us today, one minute praising the Lord and the next minute, you know, they wanting to crucify Him or crucify us there. And so people are like that as they were in this day. And so as the people are shouting and praising the Lord, the Pharisees, as He's dealt with many times, in verse 39, they said to Him, Master, rebuke Your disciples, and they're treating You like God. Well, I'm kind of paraphrasing. That's not in the Scripture. But that's why they wanted to rebuke, because they were praising Him as God and Savior. Hosanna there. And because He was God and is God. And so Jesus rebukes them in verse 40. He said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And this wasn't what they were expecting when they said, rebuke Your disciples. But Jesus says, they've got to praise Me. And if they don't, the stones are going to cry out. And we know that one day, every voice will do what these were doing. Every voice will one day cry out. There's the words in verse 40. we will cry out that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And for some people, it's going to be too late, that He indeed is Lord. He is the authority, the one that's over the animals, the ones that's over us, the one that came and went to Jerusalem and died and rose from the dead. He is the Lord, the Kyrios there. Well, as He comes into the city, verse 41, we see that He is emotional. And that's not a bad thing. God has given us emotions there. We have many different emotions that God has given to us. And here in verse 41, He came and He beheld the city and He wept over it there. Psalm 122:6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." They saw the mighty works that He had done, but they were missing out on the peace that He wants to give. And so it is today. People, oh, they know the mighty power of God, but they're missing the peace that He wants to give. And Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and they didn't have that leadership. They didn't have that peace. And it says He wept over it there. What tenderness and compassion. Yesterday I was in Bishopville with my dad cutting his grass, and afterwards I went inside and was talking to him a little bit before I came back, and he was telling me that he's been reading in the paper this about this man who killed his 5 children here in South Carolina. Have you seen that story? It's just, you know, and you read that story and you think, how could someone do that? Well, my dad was telling me that he was reading that story, and my dad started crying. He said, "I just feel so bad for those children, you know." And the tenderness and compassion of my dad, I saw the story and I felt bad for it and wondered about the man who did it, but I didn't weep. And I'm not as spiritual as my dad. And he has the tenderness of Jesus. He wept over that. And so Jesus' compassion there. And so He weeps over the city because He knows what's going to happen if they don't accept Him as Lord. And then we see also His approaching, the approaching destruction. In verse 42, Jesus continued by saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace." See, they didn't have it. "But now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side." So there's going to be the attack on Jerusalem, which was fulfilled. And it says in verse 44, "And shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Visitation here is a reference to the authority of the owner who comes in for inspection. And one of these days, the ultimate authority, the Lord Jesus Himself, He's going to come to earth there, and there's going to be an inspection as well when we see Christ. He's coming again. He comes into Jerusalem lowly, humble, but when He comes again, it's going to be quite different than His first coming. Well, He's in the city, and in verse 45, He went into the temple, and He began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. And so now we see He's emptying the temple there. He comes in, and there are these retailers, people that are buying and selling in the temple, and He sees that, and He says in verse 46, "It is written." It is written. Jesus said those words whenever He was tempted in the wilderness. Remember, "It is written." Because the Word of God is the ultimate authority there. Jesus is Lord. He's the Kyrios. But God's Word is the ultimate authority. And we know that we can depend on God's Word. For remember, whenever the two disciples went into the city, they found even as He had said. And when we look at the Word of God, we will always find even as He has said here. And so He begins to cast them out as He says, "It is written," that is in the Scripture, "My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Not only were they buying and selling there, they were doing it with deceit and cheating others there. And that was the thing to which the Lord was condemning them. In verse 47, and he taught daily in the temple. And so not only was he casting out the retailers, but he was condemning their religion. It says he taught daily in the temple, and the chief priest and the scribes and the chief of the people, they sought to destroy him there. And so here he's speaking out as an authority against their religion. In other words, he wasn't tolerant of other religions there, because there's only one way of salvation, and that is Jesus. He is the only Lord. He's the only Savior there. All others lead to hell. And that's why Jesus was weeping so much, because it wasn't like he was mad at them. He's preaching to them because he knows if they continue to follow their way instead of the way of the cross, then they're going to end up in hell. And so he begins to condemn their religion there. And as he does that, notice what happens in verse 47. It says, they sought to destroy him there. And so we need to expect animosity if we condemn any religion other than Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did. He's the only way. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way there. And if we take a stand that it's a narrow way, isn't it? Narrow-minded, a narrow way. There's only one way. And so they became angry with him. And verse 48 continues, it says, and they could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to him. So not only did it bring animosity, it also brought attention. And so it is today. One or the other response will come when we hear the authority of God's word. It will either cause us to be more attentive to God's word and follow his word in the way, ultimately pursuing God's will, or either it will bring animosity. Because Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. There is no neutrality here when it comes to Jesus Christ, and we need to be attentive there. This word, literally, the Greek word that's used here, it means to hang on. They were hanging on to every word that was said. And isn't that what we need to do? Because the word of God is the ultimate authority. And it will be even as he said. So therefore, we need to hang on to everything he tells us, being attentive or being with having animosity. There reminded me of years ago when I was in college at what was originally Lynchburg Baptist College, Liberty University. Now, it was begun in 71, and I went there in 72 there, and Brother Ray was there at the same time. And it was started, of course, by Dr. Jerry Falwell, who was pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church. And back in the 70s, you may remember a lot of churches, the bigger churches especially, and this was a big church, they had bus ministries and they had them all over town. That was one of my in-service ministries when I first went there. We had a bus route in Danville, Virginia, which was 60 miles away. So we went on Sunday morning, picked up kids and brought them back to church on Sunday morning. So they had all of this going, and they had door-to-door visitation, knocking on doors. And I remember Dr. Falwell making a comment one time many years ago, and because people either had this one response of they hated people from Thomas Road Baptist Church knocking on the door, trying to witness to them, or they loved them. So Dr. Falwell said, if you tell somebody you're from Thomas Road Baptist Church, you better pucker or duck, was what he said, because they either love you or they hate you. Well, that's the way it is with Jesus here. There were some that loved him and followed the way, but if not, they hated. And so our response to the Word of God ought to be that we are hanging on to every word and doing what God says. And Jesus, as he goes into the city, in chapter 20, it says, it came to pass that on one of those days, he taught the people in the temple. Jesus came as a teacher, I'm glad, if you notice at the back of your bulletin, our missionary of the week this week is the ministry of Sumter Christian School. And we have this ministry of teaching here. And as he is teaching, it says in verse 1, he preached the gospel. And so his approach to ministry was preaching the gospel. Everyone needs it. These chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the common people, the publicans, they all needed the gospel. Everyone needs the gospel there because it's the only way to be saved. What other approach can we have but to preach the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us what the gospel is. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's no other way to be saved, as I quoted earlier from Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And his approach to ministry was to preach the gospel. And as we go out into a world and we are talking to other people about religion, we don't necessarily need to openly condemn theirs, but whenever we tell them that Jesus is the only way, that's what we're doing. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he's the only way to be saved. He's the only way that people can do the will of God is by following Jesus here. His approach to ministry was to preach the gospel, and that's what God has commissioned us to do. Well, in verse 2, he spake unto them, saying, they spake, saying, by what authority doest thou these things? Remember the word authority? Remember those that had authority over the colt that was tied, but yet ultimately belonged to God? And the word Lord, Jesus is Lord. He is the ultimate authority there. And we are familiar with the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and to all nations, go into all the world, preaching and teaching them. But oftentimes we miss the verse prior to that that is connected to the word therefore. Go ye therefore into all nations. And the word therefore, every time you see it in the scripture, it is going backwards to something, an antecedent. And in Matthew chapter 28, the very previous verse says, all power, and that word is authority. All authority is given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go ye. And whenever we go forth preaching that Jesus is the only way and all other roads lead to hell, we are doing it on the authority of Jesus Christ. Because he says, all authority is given to me. I'm Lord. I'm Kyrios. And because you are my follower, you go forth and you teach and preach the gospel that Jesus is the only way. And you condemn every other way because they lead to hell. And Jesus wept over the fact that people would be going to hell. Also, whenever we speak against sin, regardless of what the sin may be, we're not doing it because that's our opinion. Therefore, because all authority is given to Jesus, if he condemns something as sin, and when we condemn it as sin, it's not that we're being intolerant, we're being obedient, and we're following the authority of Jesus. He is Lord. He is Kyrios there. Well, he has an answer to those that question his authority there, and we see that in verses 3 and following. Jesus answered, said, I'll ask you one thing, and you answer me. Don't you love it when Jesus does that? There he puts forth questions there, and people just, they don't know how to answer. So here's his question in verse 4. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or is it of men? And so he wanted them to make a commitment. Were they going to have animosity or be attentive? Those are the choices we have. Which are we going to do? And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall save from heaven, he'll say, why didn't you believe it? If we save from men, the people are going to stone us, because they thought that John was a prophet. So here they are between a rock and a hard place. They don't want to be committal. They don't want to commit to one or the other. They just want to be neutral. That doesn't work, does it? It does not work at all there. And so everyone must answer a question about Christ. Why didn't they respond? Verse 6 tells us they feared the people. And a lot of people today, they won't follow Jesus in the way. Oh, they might pray a prayer and ask God to save them, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But they don't want to have that change and follow in the will of God. They don't want to make that commitment because of the fear of man there. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. And here it brought a snare to these people because they wouldn't make a commitment one way or the other. And so whenever they don't make a commitment to the authority, what they are virtually doing is saying, I'm the authority. And so whenever a person rejects the Word of God as we have it, the authority, and go our own way and not make a commitment one way or the other, we're following our own way. And so we see in verse 7, and they answered that they couldn't tell whence it was. Oh, they didn't want to make a decision. They didn't know. So Jesus answered in verse 8, and he said, neither tell I you by what authority. There's that word again. I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. And so whenever they ask him, by what authority do you do that? Basically, in today's language, we would say, he said, I don't answer to you. And he doesn't. We answer to him. And one of these days, he's going to come back as the ultimate authority. And he said so. And so even as the two disciples, they went into the city, they found it even as he said. And he told us that he's coming back. And every eye is going to see him. And everyone is going to have to face that question. Which way are you going to go? And those who make no commitment are really making a choice to go against him there. One of these days, Jesus is going to come into the New Jerusalem there. And he will be the ultimate authority as he rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords there. And we must make a choice that we're going to follow Jesus, because the decision is either, am I going to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus? Those are the two choices that we have. And there's only one way. And remember the way that he went as they put the cloth down there? The ultimate destination was the will of God. And if we're going to walk in the will of God, the road to God's will always be obedience to the Word of God, because it is the ultimate authority. And we can never be in the will of God if we're not obedient to the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word to us. We thank you for your death and burial and resurrection there in Jerusalem that we'll be seeing in the weeks to come as we continue our study in Luke. Lord, we thank you that you went that path for us, that the reason you came from heaven to earth was to do your Father's will, which was to be a sacrifice for our sins. So, Father, help us in our day-to-day living as we walk the path, the road of the Christian life. It will not always be an easy path, but help us always to seek the will of God in every decision we make. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.